my friends, and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, August the 4th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. Now, my friends, this is normally where I'd say, welcome to the podcast, and we are going to take a look at the readings for this coming weekend, which happens to be a feast day. This Sunday, August the 6th, is the feast of the Transfiguration of our Lord. Now, I say normally I would do that, you know, but I'm going to do something today that I have not done in the history of my 3.5 years of podcasting. I'm not going to read the readings for this weekend. I'm going to point to them. I'm going to reference them. But there's a reason. Now, let me give you a backstory. And really, it's one of those things that I'm just doing it because I want to do it. And here's why. So, ever since we've been on Ordinary Time, and that's been in mid-June, right? We came off the Easter season. We had a couple of feasts, Body and Blood of the Lord, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. And then we've been on Ordinary Time. And as you know, the gospel we will read sequentially. We're in year A this year, so that's Matthew's gospel, and we read that sequentially. And the first reading will hop around all over the place, chosen to kind of keep the same thread as the gospel. But the second reading, which I often don't read in this podcast, the second reading, we generally, what happens is the church will read from one of the epistles, either Paul or James or, you know, one of the Catholic letters. And that's read sequentially as well. And since we started Ordinary Time back in June, we've been hearing out of Paul's letter to the Romans sequentially. And I've been keeping my eye on it because I couldn't wait until we got to Paul chapter 8 at the end of it. And I'm like, when we get there, I am totally reading that reading because it is on a very, very short list of my favorite readings in all of Scripture. And I opened up the computer this morning and I'm like, I can't wait. I'm focusing on the second reading today. This is going to be so wonderful. It's such a good reading. And then I look and it's a feast day. And whenever there's a feast day, it wipes out, it overrides the readings from Ordinary Time, and it does its own readings because they're readings of the feast, appropriately so. And I'm like, no way. It's like I've been waiting for this day for two months, and now it's like it was taken away from me, and I'm like a child who's putting his foot down and saying, I'm not letting it be taken away. I'm going to read it anyway. So that's a long way around to tell you, you're going to hear a reading right now from me. You're not going to hear this weekend. But you know what? It's worth hearing. There's no joke in that. It is worth hearing because I think in many ways it encapsulates what is the good news. I mean, Paul was brilliant. And listen, Paul had a shadow side. Don't let anybody fool you about that. Paul was brilliant. He had an understanding. Understanding isn't even a good word. He had a relationship. He had a knowledge, not just a head knowledge, a body knowledge, a spirit knowledge of who God was and who God is. And in ways that he would be able to put that down. And I think this is one of those ways where he puts it down in Romans today of this is it. Brothers and sisters, we can surround ourselves with a whole lot of other things, but when we sift it, this is the gold. This is the jewel that we're going to find when we get rid of all the sand, when we get rid of the dross, right? And so I want to focus on that. Again, it's the Feast of the Transfiguration. That's an important feast. It falls on August 6th of every year. The reason for that is because that was when they built the first church on Mount Tabor in August 6th of whatever year that was. And so they put the feast day down on that. And so we hear every August 6th that reading. But generally, August 6th doesn't fall on a Sunday. It would be, you know, whenever it is, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. But this year it does fall on a Sunday, so it supersedes Ordinary Time readings. Boy, that was a long way to get to what we're going to hear this weekend for today. But just know, again, I'm going to point to it because it's important. It's an important feast day, and I don't want to take a detour around it. But I kind of do because I want us to hear Paul, what Paul has to say. So what are the verses you're going to hear from me? It's, again, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8. We're going to start verses 31, and essentially we're going to read until the end of chapter 8, which is through 39. So Paul 8, 31 to 39. I'll skip around 36. It just kind of doesn't flow as well. It's not a bad verse, but it just doesn't flow with where we're going. And I want us to really focus on that. So I hope you're okay that I'm kind of giving us a little bit of a detour. And if not, well, bless you. Don't worry. Next week we'll be back on the readings, prepping for what we'll hear at Mass for the weekend. But just I invite you again, as always, as we break open God's Word, just let it fall upon you in whatever way that's going to do that. Let it find a place in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. Let it take root and let it grow in whatever way God needs that to grow within you. Far more important than anything else. And open yourself to however God's going to speak to you through this Word. Because I trust God will. Too good not to. So let's break it open, okay? A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. What then shall we say to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him? Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? It is God who acquits us. Who will condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who also is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. What will separate us from the love of Christ? Will anguish or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? No. In all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I hope that you're like me, that it's like, yeah, that was worth taking a detour for. Brothers and sisters, I know, again, Paul can be kind of cryptic. Paul can be, you know, just convoluted in his writing style sometimes. So let's parse this out a little bit. What is he saying? I love how he brings us into it right away. The first line, what then shall we say to this, is he's referencing things, you know, that he was writing before verse 31. But then he says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Really? Boom. Right there. I mean, let that be the one that sits with us the rest of our day, right? Listen, if God is on our side, who does it matter who's not on our side, right? I don't know about you, but I know I can certainly let it matter to me who's not on my side. And it can disrupt my day. It can disrupt my night. It can disrupt my month. Or whatever, when I'm sitting there being crabby, like these people said this about me, or these people aren't speaking to me anymore, or these people are doing this act, whatever it is. And I'm like, ah. And Paul's like, Joe, if God is for you, what does it matter who's against you, right? Yeah. But then what Paul does is he sets up, in a sense, a courtroom drama. Now, I'm going to use analogies here, and I may not use correct ones, and I ask for your patience with me as I do this. But I love what Paul's trying to do here, because he asks questions. Basically, he's trying to pin us in a corner. He the underlying theme, you know, his his thematic statement is, listen, if God is for us, who can be against us? Okay? It doesn't matter who's the one making the accusation. And then he says, he asks the question, he, meaning God, who did not spare his own son, but handed him over to for us all, how will he not also give everything else along with him? Meaning, okay, if God is for us, who can be against us? Do we think God, the very one who gave God's own son and everything else with him, do you think he's not going to, you know, that he's the one who's going to be against us? Do you think God's going to be against God? God is the one who gave Jesus. God is the one who gives us all these blessings. God is the one who created all this goodness for us. Do you think God is going to be against us? That's effectively what he's saying, far better than I did. He did not spare his own son, but handed him over for us all. How will he not also give everything else along with him? So that's the first question that we have to answer. If we're like, okay, you know, God may be against me today because you don't know what I did, Joe. And Paul's saying, you think God who gave us everything, you think God is not going to be able to override whatever that is that we think separates us? And then he goes into the next one. Okay, again, think courtroom drama. Who will bring a charge against God's chosen ones? Who's going to be the one who brings the charge? You think it's going to be God who's bringing the charge? He just said, listen, he's the one who gave us his own son. And then he says, it's God who acquits us. It's God on the stand. It's God who judges. It's God who acquits, who says, boom, puts the gavel down, not guilty. Or even if he says not, doesn't say not guilty, he says, the charge is paid. It's done. It's God who's the judge. Who's going to bring the charge? It's not God who is. Because God's on our side. And then he says, okay, who will condemn us? Meaning, who's going to bring the accusation? Who's prosecuting us? Not persecuting, prosecuting us. It is Christ Jesus who died, rather was raised, who also was at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us. Meaning, Jesus is our defense lawyer. He's the one who's interceding for the judge, who's God, who's on our side, who's acquitting us. So he's not the one bringing the charge against us. Do you see how he's setting this up? That what do we do this in our mind that we think, oh, but you don't know what I've done, and I'm separated, and I hear these voices in my head that condemn me, and that must be God, or that must be, you know, whatever it is. Listen, our conscience will condemn us. Not condemn us, that's poor choice of word. It will bring it to the forefront of our mind to say, listen, this is not the way to live. It's not, you've been created in the image and likeness of God, and we are created to love. God is the essence of love and life. And when we step outside of that, our conscience is going to say, hey, you're living in a different way. But that's different than acquitting us. It's different than saying, you are bad. It's different than saying, you are not made in my image any longer, and therefore you're on the highway to hell. Okay? It's saying, listen, let's step back in to the very image in which you are made. There's an incredible difference in that. It is God who acquits us. It is Jesus who defends us and intercedes on our behalf. When we step out of that line, it's just our way of being in God and God in us, even more importantly, that invites us to step back in and follow in that. And then Paul, in his brilliance, says, listen, what's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Because that's the ultimate question. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, I got plenty of things, you know, tell us, you know, who will be against us, because you don't know what I've done, you don't know what I've said, you know what I've thought, you don't know who I've judged, you don't know all these things about me. And then Paul says, well, let's put them all on the line. What's going to separate us from Christ? Will anguish do that? Our own anguish that we feel and that we know? Anguish of relationships that have been severed? Anguish of things and people and gifts and abilities that we've lost. We all carry anguish. That's, to be human is to carry anguish, right? Will that separate us from God? Will distress, that's the next one he says, will anguish or distress? These are all human things. We're going to experience every one of these. Or persecution, because brothers and sisters, we are persecuted. Many of us live in countries in which there is not persecution for our faith, but there's plenty of people across the world that live and are persecuted for their faith. But maybe we're persecuted for something else. taking a stand for justice in a way that other people will feel is the way we need to do that. Or we're being persecuted for standing with people that other people don't care for, whatever that would be. Will anguish or distress or persecution separate us from the love of Christ? Will famine, whatever it is we hunger for that we don't have? Will nakedness? Nakedness and on one level, I think, will our sexuality keep us from the love of God? But another, will our nakedness, meaning being honest before God of who we are and what we think and what we're about, or with one another, will that keep us from God? Or peril? Or the sword? What will separate us from the love of God? Paul asks. Will any of that stuff? Can any of that stuff? And then Paul says, he answers his questions. And this is where he brings it full circle. He sets up this courtroom drama. If God is for us, who can be against us? You know, what will separate us from the love of God? Can any of these things do it? And he says, no. No, in all these things we conquer overwhelmingly through the one who loved us. For I am convinced, he says. And this is where I just, my friends, I want you to get this in your being, in your soul, in your heart, in your spirit, in that depth of place, wherever and whatever you call that. Because I think Paul nails this one. He throws the dart and it hits home. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, whatever's going on in our lives right now, whatever government is happening, the principalities, nor future things, because we all worry about that, right? Oh, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Nor powers, whatever that power be, you know, worldly power or this person or this addiction or this cigarette or this, you know, whatever has power over me. Nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. None of this stuff will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. None of this. My friends, I am convinced Paul is correct. I am convinced that the only thing that can separate us from the love of God is our own ability to say, but I'm not worthy. It's our own ability to say, oh, but God, no, you can't love me. And so we don't let God love us. I was in a conversation earlier this week and chatting with a lovely woman. And she said, you know what I worry about is, you know, all those loved ones of mine in the kingdom, you know. I you know, and we talked about how will we know people, and we guessed, you know, because I don't know the answer to those things. But we talked about it and conjectured. And then she said, what I would worry about is how will I feel? You know, there won't be any sadness in heaven. How will I feel when some of my loved ones aren't there, you know, and don't make it to the kingdom? And I believe hell is a real thing. You know, I don't think we need to even go down that path very much. Just ask the people in Myanmar, right, or in Sudan, or in Yemen, or in Ukraine, or we don't have to go that far. You know, those relationships have been severed that we just ache about in our own lives, and the dysfunction in our families, or the abuse we've suffered. I mean, hell is real. But my answer to her was, you know, when she asked that about loved ones not being there, I said, I don't know anything. I said, but here's what I believe. I said, I believe the love and the mercy and the goodness of God, when we stand before it in its magnificence, that I think it's simply going to burn away all that junk that is within me, all that woe is me, all that you can't love me, all that pride, that arrogance, that ego, that independence, and that. I think it's going to burn it away because it's bigger than any of my stuff. And I said, I don't know anybody who will say no to that love. We're free. We can, and we can walk away from it. But I think when we see God in God's magnificence, it's going to burn away all that stuff. And I think, in a sense, that's where I point to that transfiguration. That when we are in that moment, and we will be bright as the sun, as Jesus and Elijah and Moses were. And it just burns all that stuff away. And we hear that wonderful voice that God says to us, "This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Brothers and sisters, yes, I do believe hell is real, but I believe the love of God is so much stronger than it. And I think everything Paul is saying in this reading is true. What will separate us from the love of God? If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who acquits. It is Jesus who intercedes. For I am convinced that none of this stuff, no matter what we're going through, no matter what we have gone through, no matter what we will go through, no matter what surrounds us, none of that stuff can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, and that is the best news. That is the good news. And I hope that was worth our detour today. Let's pray. We continue through the luminous mysteries. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The third luminous mystery, the proclamation of the gospel. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, thank you for being with me today and being with me as we do kind of an end around of the Word this weekend. Trust me, we will be back on our regularly scheduled program next week. May your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well.